Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Glory, Father.
Jesus.
Worship you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Worship you, Jesus. Worship.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Worship you.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm instructed of the Lord to pray for you and to impart. And this is what he's saying in this. We're going to have a line. The call will be for this, for grace, for the next level. And it's not a broadcasting call like potluck, like I'll take some of that if you're going to give it out. If there's something that's inside of you, even by witness of even the beginning of this service or what God's doing presently in your life, and this is going to go to those that are out there as well watching, and there is a desire, you've noticed a desire, and as I said, it may be even started in this service, to know Him in a stronger way, in a place of intimacy, a place of peace, a place of fellowship, maybe like you've never had before in your life. And there's a yearning inside of you. And this could be for those that are starting their journey or well into their maturity in Christ. But if you would come in just a moment and stand here, my faith with your commitment and desire to go into Him and receive from Him, you're going to walk out of here today with a noticeable endowment of His presence that's going to follow you and empower you to do the things that are necessary spiritually to go into that next place. Hallelujah. So if a couple of you guys could move this. The Lord interrupted me. We're just going to worship. And the worship team, you can, if you want to come down and stand in this line, but continue to, and that's for everybody. And I'm just going to walk through and touch you. I would say just yield to the Spirit. We're going to need every usher. Let's just worship the Lord for a moment. Just a moment, I'm going to pray. I can tell you this. He wanted me to say this to you. This is a promise from Him, but it's coming from me as way of spokesman. I promise you, I solemnly, by the Lord, promise you that every single one of you that are coming in faith this morning are going to receive something. And those that of you are watching, as you sit on your couches, your chairs, wherever you're at, worship during this time. This is coming to you. If this describes your heart, this is coming to you. And I promise there's something going to take place this morning that's above and beyond anything that you've experienced before in the past. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I release this anointing. I release this anointing. What they know in their hearts is another place. Lord, this morning, take them to that place. Take us to that place. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive. Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive. Receive that life. Hallelujah. Receive that life. In the name of Jesus, receive that life. Receive that life.
Jesus' name. Receive that next level. Receive that next level in the name of Jesus. Receive that next level, that next place, that next place. Hallelujah. Receive that next place. Receive that next place. Jesus, life, your grace.
Hallelujah. The Lord says that many of you were healed in your body while also being healed in your emotions. Many of you heard something from me. I whispered something to your heart. Do not degrade those things as if they were from your own mind during that time. You were caught up in my spirit, and I blocked the intervention of your own mind to speak to you and to whisper to you. Many of you saw things. Many of you saw things in a flash. Many of you saw things in an extended inward hope and vision for your future and for the church and for the end times. Do not discount these things. These are reality. These things are truth. These things are healing to your body and to your soul, saith the Spirit of grace. Much healing took place inwardly in the realm of the soul and emotion. Simultaneously, much healing took place in the body. You will notice these things in your bodies as well if you will give me the praise for it even now, saith the Spirit of grace. Father, we worship you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I receive everything you gave us and gave me. We don't discount anything. We hold it in the highest, the utmost regards. We are spiritual. Everyone that is born again is spiritual people, having the ability to hear, to see, to receive whatever you spoke, whatever you showed. We worship you, Father. We receive it. Glory be to God. Please write down your experience this morning. Share them with someone. Bring them to me over the next, doesn't have to be this service, but write it down and share it with me. You'll be anonymous if we ever say anything, but it's important that you share your victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants me to tell you he's well pleased with your obedience. Thank you, Jesus. Do you think you got a hug in you for somebody? Hallelujah. I know I do. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand and give each other a great big hug. Hallelujah. Amen. We've already had church. By the way, we're not having church tonight. We always rest after the week of meetings, and it was so wonderful this week. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. I want you to get ready to serve the Lord in blessing this morning. And those of you out there, we really appreciate your giving to this ministry. As you well know, we're not trying to build a ministry. We're just trying to build the kingdom of God and just work with Him. Hallelujah. Sign and a wonder. The signs and wonders are always around us, but a lot of times we negotiate them away with our minds. And I was so glad to get a firsthand report from someone that I know that's just so wonderful. Sister Ruth came up and expressed, she goes, this is really strange, but she said, I want to share with you that this past week, my son, who lives in Tennessee, is a building contractor, and he's left-handed, and he's recently been, it's like been a paralysis, is it like? What is it?
It's numb.
Numb. It's just his hand, his arm, and of course, she's been believing God for him, and then when she was back there and went back to her seat, she began to feel, and this is not normal for her, a tingling going through her left hand and arm. And so we just know there was a sign right there that God was at work firsthand in somebody that's standing for her son. We praise you, Father. We glorify you. And the Lord just said to us just a moment ago, don't discount these things. Don't discount these things. You know, a lot of times we're like, now I know people can get, you know, weird and flaky and stuff, but when we're receiving these things, it's like the Lord said, we're caught up in His Spirit. You're not receiving these things watching an R-rated movie or in a bar someplace where the flesh could get really wacky. This is where we're incubated in His presence. This is where if you can ever trust something, this is where you should trust it at. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you for the givers this morning and those whose hearts are just so intimately related and tied in to this ministry. And Lord, we thank you because it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit that all these needs are met and supplied according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's all stand together. And if you have something this morning, please bring it down. Our kids can be dismissed. If Marty, if you do have something, please, or Mike, I would appreciate it. Just a little bit more worship. And those of you that are giving online, thank you so much. So if you have something, go ahead and bring it down. Glory be to God. We love you, Jesus. We're so thankful for your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just love you. We thank you for your presence that has visited us this morning. We are humbled by it. We know that in and of ourselves, we can't make these things happen. But we thank you, Lord, that it's through your Spirit. It's by your Spirit. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to go to the next place in your word. And we give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, we're going to go right back in this morning to a series that we started a couple of weeks ago now, and that is Born Again. Beyond Born Again. And this, we're going to go into lesson two, Beyond Born Again, which we're going to entitle this morning, From Teachers to Babies. And so I could not get to this next lesson because it's been 2 weeks now since we had the first one without reviewing as much, being as concise as I possibly can, reviewing lesson number one. And for a teacher, that's pretty hard because every single line is, it's an invitation to teach all of it again. So I'm not going to teach all of it again, but I am going to share some highlights. And besides for that, if we did cover a lot of it again, reiteration is the best teacher. It really is. It's reinforcing something for all of us. Hearing it again and again is the best teacher. So again, Father, thank you. Thank you for your great grace upon us. Beyond Born Again, we're going to cover lesson one for just a moment. I said a couple of weeks ago when we started this that the beginning of understanding of all spiritual things in Christ is to have an understanding of born again, or what it means to be born again. It's kind of like when Jesus said about Mark chapter 4, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand all the rest of the parables. In the essence that this parable, the sower sowing the word, is really a parable that unlocks the mysteries of everything else. Well, from Genesis to Revelation, it's one story. There's 66 books in your Bible, 39 in the old and 27 in the new, and from the beginning to the end, it's all about one revelation, Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. It took 39 books to get him here and 27 to discover how wonderful he is afterwards, but it's all about Christ in you, the hope of glory. The whole thing is about, you know, getting Christ in the earth, Ephesians chapter 1 tells us, without going into it, that God knew that this whole thing was going to disintegrate from the moment that he made man. But amazing enough, just because you have a foreknowledge of something going to happen doesn't mean that you're the one that is controlling that taking place. And God knew when he created man, but his heart was always fellowship. And the only way that he could ever have fellowship beyond the fall was to get Christ into the earth. Well, born again, that is our message of evangelism to the lost of this world. That's our born again. You must be born again. Pastor Dave, I highlighted this, Roberson, which is my pastor and which has done so much to sow a foundation in this church in former days. He has 10 volumes of, no, 6 volumes of 10 lessons each, which is 60, called the Born Again Trail. And that Born Again Trail, meaning just like you'd follow a trail in the woods, he basically tries to follow a trail throughout Scripture explaining what the born again experience is in type and shadow, and then the reality of it when Christ came and provided a birthing for all of us to be born again, to accept him. Everybody, now this is stereotypical, but I'm overphrasing this. Everybody in America is a believer, you know. Not everybody, but I mean everybody tells you, yeah, I believe in God. That does not birth you into the kingdom. Knowing the semantics of what he did, birth, sinless life, crucifixion, burial, resurrection, ascension, knowing those, being able to repeat those and believing them that they happened does not born you again. It's when you place yourself in the trust of that and ask him that what he has provided at the cross becomes who you are, and you totally surrender to him and ask him to come in, change you, then there's a total rebirth. 2 Corinthians says this, that we have become new creatures in Christ. Old things, behold, all things have passed away. 5:17, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. The power of the born again spirit mystery alone is enough for a lifetime of rejoicing. In other words, when we're talking about going beyond born again this morning, and in this study that we'll do over the next several weeks, because we want to get into some things in the book of Hebrews, if we just lived a lifetime in appreciation of that born again experience, it would be enough. That would be enough. But it's not enough, because God wants us to take that as the first step and keep going. Born again is the threshold. I'm just repeating some things from a couple of weeks ago. Born again is the door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the door to the sheepfold. In other words, if any man, he said, will come in through me. So that's the born again experience. Born again is the start. It's the first mystery. It's entry level. Born again is not the end of the process. We must go beyond. I'm just going to read some of this. That way I'll get through it quicker, in a quicker fashion, rather than stopping a comment. We must go beyond born again to become full-grown sons of God. One of the first and most powerful truths of born again is the power in domination or dominion over the man. And I'm talking about the man being you, male or female. That's one of the most powerful. You've become a son. You've become a daughter of God. But the next thing you realize immediately is the power of sin has no longer dominion over you. That's wonderful. That's one of the most powerful. Beyond born again is to carry that dominion in the man, or the person, you might say, to the world in the harvest with a demonstration of signs and wonders. How many of you know, and I hope that you do, we expressed this before, there's an end game. An end game. What's the end game? Well, it's what's beyond this. I'm so happy to be born again. Man, I am so glad you're happy, because I'm happy for you. You're going to heaven. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. You can live a sinless life now. And if you do sin, you can get forgiveness. But there's something beyond that. Now that you're happy about being who you are, it's not always running around with a testimony that I've got dominion over sin. It is the propagation of the gospel. It's going beyond that. There's an end game beyond that. Speaking in tongues, fasting, all that. Pretty much all that has had a, not by way of default, but just in the reason of our teaching, which is truth, it's pretty much been focused on us changing. Change, clean up ourselves, get it right, get die. But the end game is not us. The example, I don't know what I'm saying. There's no interpretation for that at the moment. I'm using that as an example. In those few sentences, I said something concerning my personal edification. I don't know what it was. He might have been saying, keep teaching them what you're teaching them and don't rabbit trail. But I can tell you this, the end game is not just edification for your, or praying in tongues just for your edification. I like that. That's a good place. Comfortable. It's comfy, cozy. But the end game is to take it to the next place for the world. Some may say that the vision for the harvest of revival comes secondary. I will say this. It is possible to love a vision without loving him first. I mean, some men have fallen in love with a vision, and they're just incredibly mean, and they just want everybody to get the you-know-what, H-E-double-L out of their way because they are the man or woman of God, and they're going to, you know, do, and we're going to build this thing. And that's mean. You can't know him. You can fall in love with a, and then if he did give you a vision, it transitions into an egotistical buildup, and it's all about a name and a church and a bill. But here's the thing. It is possible to love a vision without loving him first, but it's impossible to first love him without loving his vision. He comes first, but I can tell you what runs almost a close second is the more you love him, you're going to do his sayings. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Man, I am so in love with you, Jesus. Pastor, yes. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I sit and cry all the time. I love him. I just love him. I love him. I'm so intimate with him. But you know what? I know you'd like for us to stay here and serve in this church, but I want to move to someplace else. I want to go someplace else. And that's not losing my salvation because I still love him. You don't love him half as much as you think you do. To love him, what I'm saying is if he said, stay here and be a part of this, to love him is to do whatever he says. Homer has preached it for years. Our love for him is just simple. It's just obedience. It's not the tingle. I love the tingle. I felt some tingle this morning. Man, I like it. I love it. I love him. I love the emotion. His emotion is deeper than human emotion. But true love is obedience. Hallelujah. So we're preaching the harvest, but we're in love with the harvest. It's not something secondary. Once we've come into the door, the harvest has become his words to us. So we love it. We don't run over people for it. We're inviting people to come in and get healed. Hallelujah. So that end game is understood among us. Even our tongues, as I said, it is for our edification, but it's also beyond that. It's to win the world. Conquering the flesh testimonies are wonderful testimonies. And I have to remind you of this. Conquering the flesh testimonies are wonderful testimonies for babies. Once inside the kingdom of God and the realization of the change that has happened to a person in the area of sinful desires and appetites occur, once that revelation occurs to you, that person rejoices in the freedom of change and dominion. This is a testimony of babies. The spiritual mature, well, Pastor, can't you tell your testimony later in life? Oh, absolutely. The spiritual mature can look back and give testimony to the infancy of their newborn change and all the effects. Like, I got set free in the first week, in the first 2 weeks of this. They can testify of all the effects that it had on their life. But the spiritually mature cannot, and they will not, believe that their power over sin has been given to them through the process of time. And like, time has given me, as I have got to know Him, then He gave me power of dominion over sin. You got to know Him enough to stop sinning, like, the moment that you said, I do. The moment that you said, I receive you. That's an amazing feature of the born again. No maturing is necessary for that testimony. This is where we leave the majority of the body of Christ. Kids, I said this, I'll give this as a quick example. Kids are praised when they go from being potty trained. But dear God, if you have a 40-year-old man that you don't praise him for going to the bathroom on his own. While we're conquering the flesh in some form or another in our perfecting, the deadly sins, now we've brought a lot of clarification on the deadly sins of the flesh should have been conquered long ago, very close to entry level. You know the killer sins? Okay, class. Galatians what? 5? Ephesians 5. 1 Corinthians 6. Okay, hallelujah. All of those are a list of what? Deadly sins. And they all say the same thing. All three of those correspond and say the same thing. They say, anyone who practices these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are three on your, you know, to-do list to know. All just, you can hand those out in a moment's time. There should be no praise in the church for the man who says, I have stopped cheating on my wife after these many years in Christ. You just say, praise God. And keep going. He shouldn't even give that testimony. Just don't even say it. Don't even say it. Conquering the flesh testimonies are for babies in Christ. Conquering the flesh testimonies are for preschoolers. This is square one. This is where we start. I'll just rabbit trail here for just a moment because I think I can. I know I can. I've dealt with men through the ages of time, not anybody particular that's even seated here this morning, but I can tell you this, a lot of times once you learn this way that we're on, and you learn the semantics of it, you learn the five keys or the four pillars, that in itself will become a religiosity. If you don't watch it, and you can use those things as an excuse for a veil to stay in the flesh. What are you talking about, Pastor? If a young man has, and he's been in this way for a number of years, and he comes to me and he says, I have a problem. I've been in this way for 5 years or whatever, and I know I have a problem with porno. But Pastor, man, I'll fall, but praise God, I want to tell you something. I just keep getting back up, and I keep fasting, keep praying in tongues. And, you know, I'm not going to quit, but I've had it these 5-10 years. Listen, don't stop. Don't ever stop. But I can tell you unequivocally, in Christ, you're still giving an excuse to the flesh. Because all that should have fallen off, like, real close. Here's the door. Here's when you got saved. Real close to the door. If you're 5 years, 10 years, and you're still fighting that stuff, even if you're saying, I'm fasting, I'm praying, there's something inside of you that is not as blue chip as it should be. You're not as authentic to yourself. You're using the truths that are real truths as a way to skirt that I'm really doing. I'm fallen, but I'm not so bad a guy. Okay, and that's not meant to be mean. Just stop it. And stop it now. We really don't want to hear your testimonies 15 years later. If it did take you 15 years, just be quiet. Pastor, you're mean. No, I'm telling you, the power of this born again is real strong. It's real strong. It's just real strong. Hallelujah. Is everybody still with me? Some people just turned their TV off. I wish I could turn it back on for you. Hallelujah. The revelation of born again is absolute and resonates into everything that we do. So let me keep going here because we do have some new stuff, really a lot of good new stuff. There's no question of why the worldwide harvest, there is no worldwide harvest with power that showcases the revival when the church is still arguing over what is sin and what is not sin. Okay? That should be a no-brainer, really. It's not entirely the false preachers either. You know, I don't think we harped, but we taught how you should recognize false teachers. But listen, false teachers are only half the problem. False teachers would not exist unless somebody turned the TV on to watch them. We should put all the drug dealers in jail. I know they're the main problem, but somebody's buying. Lord Jesus, if you just didn't even pay no attention to them, I'd have nothing to say about them. These men in the church that listen to these preachers stand in jeopardy of eternal damnation because they are destroying the foundation. And I went through, we've repeated that so many times, but it's real easy because I got it in my notes. Some of, but not all of what they teach is no repentance past the cross. Repented one time, good to go for the rest of my life. Once saved, always saved. No penalty for sin once inside of Christ. The segmenting of the scriptures. Boy, if that isn't dangerous. If you start taking scripture out of context, it's very dangerous. It's another one when you just say that doesn't even apply. Denying the words of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount does not apply to Christians. Most of the words and teachings and commandments of Jesus do not apply to the church. Number 8, the first chapter of 1 John does not apply to Christians. Okay. All right. So how many of you are enjoying yourself so far this morning? Okay. Hallelujah. If you're not, just say, oh me, or praise God, or glory to God, and hallelujah. Vacuums and voids are created when people camp and do not move forward into maturity. And this is really the thing that we're going to see out of Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews. I've been reading the book of Hebrews for a good while through the years. It's really one of my favorite New Testament books. I'd have to say that the 13 chapters of the book of Hebrews is probably one of my most favorite books. It's very deep. It's very powerful. But I would employ you, I would encourage you, read, listen to the book of Hebrews. You're going to get some very, very powerful things. And you're going to understand what we're trying to get across in these series of teachings. And I don't want to get ahead of myself because some of my notes will say that in just a moment. You cannot camp anywhere too long without moving on further into God, that the devil or the flesh or both will not try to corral the truth and begin to pervert it. Always remember this about God. He's a river. He's not a stagnant pond. And your relationship with Him is always. Praise God for what He did for you. T. 10 years ago. That's wonderful. You can give that testimony. But He's not there. The Holy Spirit's not there anymore. He's up here. We're always going forward. Okay? Even what He did for you last week, that's wonderful. You can testify about it. But God is a river, and we're always going to another place with Him. Don't get stagnant. Immaturity in Christ is the nesting ground for accepting lies. Immaturity in Christ is not a baby in Christ. A baby is not immature. A baby is just a baby. A baby is a baby. But when you stay a baby and don't grow, then you are considered immature. Christ plus born again, you might say it this way, born again plus time does not equal spiritual growth. I don't care how long you've been born again, time in that position of truth of born again does not mean that you have spiritually grown. Christ plus time does not equal spiritual growth. Christ plus knowing and doing His sayings equals spiritual growth. Okay? The example of 1 John was fascinating to me, that even that babies in Christ had the immediate inoculation against deception. But what will change this is when a babe will not grow and never change from milk to meat. So we heard Gary talk about, and it was so powerful and absolute truth, that even from the beginning, a baby in Christ has a no, that's not right, and yes, that is right kind of innate ability to know the truth. But I can tell you what will happen, what will stop that over a period of time, is when a baby does not grow, when it does not go from milk to meat, and it just chooses to stay stagnant, stagnation and non-growth is the building blocks for eventually losing that inoculation, and then they begin to accept things that are not truth. So, hallelujah. Very close to getting started in something new here. No matter how powerful one truth is, you cannot stay just there. You must bring that truth forward with you on a place of progressing to the next level. Hallelujah. The writers of Hebrews, we're going to go to some scripture here in just a moment. But the writer of Hebrews was saying here to the church that by this time in their Christian walk, and we're going to read that scripture in just a moment, they should be able to teach other Christians everything that they had previously been taught. But rather than being teachers, they had once again become students needing to be taught themselves. It was as if the writer was saying that they had developed severe spiritual amnesia. The reason why that these Christians had forgotten and reverted back to a pupil status or a spiritual immature was because they never truly used what they had received. Everybody say this with me. Use it or lose it. Okay, now let's use the scripture. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, please. And verse 12. Let's look at verse 12 together, and I'll read 12 and 13 and then begin to comment. He says this, the writer of Hebrews says to the church, "When for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe or baby." And thus our lesson two, from teachers to babies. The word teacher here, the word teacher does not just imply someone who knows about something, but rather has mastered it. When I looked this up and I was studying this, I said, man, this is exactly what Jim said to us. He didn't bring this particular word out or this particular scripture, but you know, remember when Jim was talking to us on one particular occasion during this past week, he talked about how that, and he wasn't just trying to puff us up. He said, if you've been here for a number of years, and he tried to pick out, you know, 5, 10 years, you have, you're basically in not just school, you're in a graduate school level compared to much of the rest of the body of Christ. And so this word teacher here is, and I'll just sound it out according to syllable, didaskalos, and it means an instructor, but it is specifically means a doctor, master, teacher. It also comes from another word, in which I'll mention just in just a moment, but I thought that was so interesting that this word teacher is not just a common kind of teacher. It is an upper level, doctorate level, master or teacher. So it was amazing, he was saying to the church here, he's saying, by this point in time, you should be at a graduate level. You should be at an advanced level. And so the word babes here is nepios. And it means, this I found extremely interesting because I went to a couple of places, of 2 or 3 levels of the Greek here, but just the first one, if you just look this up, is 3516 in your Strong's, even without having to go to second and third level Greek on this. It just means not speaking. For instance, an infant. And then on it goes, it means to, figuratively, it means a simple-minded person or an immature, a child or a babe or a child. As I said, it comes from another base word, which means one who cannot speak. They can't. They're such at such an infant level, they cannot speak. I was holding that baby, Ava, yesterday, and her Nana, that's got her now, she was sitting across the room, and I was holding her, and she was looking around. Well, she's 4 months old. And so, but at that point, she was just wide awake, and of course she cannot speak. But she was cooing. She was like, you know how babies just, they'll start. She had her fist in her mouth, and she was talking to us. Now, we didn't know a word what she was saying. And she was just on and on and on. I said, look, Nana, she's talking to us. And she was in the, you know, for 5 minutes, she was just a four-month-old. They coo, they talk, you know, they rattle on. But what he's saying here is so amazing, is he makes this distinction, and the writer of Hebrews, and we're going to get into some background on Hebrews a little bit more next week, but the writer of Hebrews is saying, I taught you once, but what I taught you should have brought you to a status of being, had you embraced it and done it, and that was the major part of it that we'll read in the next couple of verses. Had you embraced it and done it, you should be at a doctorate level of being able to explain everything that you know to people. Because you did not embrace it and do it, you have reverted back. And this is what he says. I didn't pull this out to embellish it. He says you have reverted back to a baby, to a status of where you can't even speak. You don't even have. Your brain, your spiritual brain, has reverted back to a place where you don't even have the ability to articulate language. That's how baby you've gotten. What a description! He gives a word here that describes someone who should be in a doctorate position of teaching and articulating to a person who is all the way down to goo-goos and gagas, and nobody can relate to what they're saying because they don't understand what they're saying because they have not developed. The Amplified, I'll read it for you. For even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you actually need someone to teach you. Again, he had taught them once, the very first principles of God's Word. You've come to need milk, not solid food. For everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskillful in the doctrine of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action. For he is a mere infant, not able to talk yet. Isn't that amazing? Staying on milk too long will kill you. What? But Pastor, the Word says, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Yes, that's 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. What does it say? What does it say? Because you'll often hear people talk about that. They'll say that, they'll quote that, and they have no idea what they're talking about. But the Word says, as newborn babes. You guys think I'm a sarcastic, don't you? I love that. And Candy says, he is. I'm looking over at Candy while Jim's talking, because Jim's sarcastic too. I said, man, he reminds me of me. And or I said, that guy's sarcastic, but it's in a good way. Hallelujah. You should be too, in a loving way. In a loving way. You really should. You should be so adamant about what you know. Now, it's not going to... Now, if you're a debater and you like to debate people, debating... I've never seen debating change anybody. And I've never seen the Holy Ghost get on a... I've never seen the Holy Ghost anoint debate. I've never seen him anoint somebody that wanted to debate. But if you've got somebody that wants the truth... Oh, Jesus, the Holy Ghost will jump on you, all over you. And he'll remind you and remind you and remind you of truth. Hallelujah. Everyone says, you know, but desire the sincere milk of the Word. But the Bible says this, as newborn babes. As newborn babes. When you come in the door, when you were newborn, that's when you receive or desire the sincere milk of the Word. Hallelujah. Everyone, say this with me, please. Trust me. You say, well, I don't know if... Okay, if you don't have to, but everyone say this. Pastor, babies are adorable. He even had the accent on it. They are so cute. They're so innocent. I just want to squeeze babies. I love to give them their bottles of milk and just watch them grow. I was once a baby. I loved milk. I loved for people to cuddle me and hold me and tell me, you are the sweetest little thing. But Pastor Bronk, I grew up. And now, I don't want milk. I want some meat. Hallelujah. Babies grow on milk. Okay. This girl's ready. She's sharp. She's real. Sarah's extremely sharp. I sit down with her, I'm like, this girl's smart. Babies grow on milk. Men grow on meat. I kind of damaged that. Babies grow on milk. Men grow on meat. Hallelujah. The book of Hebrews writer was actually saying this. This is what he was actually saying. I expected you to have become masters of the things that I taught you from the beginning, to the extent that you were able to teach others also from a doctorate level of understanding. But instead, you have become babies, not and cannot even speak. He was saying this, I set you up to become master teachers. But you went from teachers to babies. Now let's look at verse 14. But strong meat, he didn't just say meat, he just said strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And I've told you, well, that's exercise. That's that word gymnazo. It's the word gymnasium. Our word gymnasium, gymnazo, gym. It means by those who are continually being exercised in the things or by the things that they know, when they know them, hear them, and do them, and apply them, then that is meat unto them, and it gives them the ability to grow. But understand this, he was also answering the reason being why that they had made such an awesome or a horrific transition and went downscale. They had downscaled themselves. They had been presented something of truth. The expectation based on that truth was these, if they'll follow this, in a matter of time, they're going to be on a doctorate level. But then returned inspection reveals that rather than being intelligent professors of the word, they had disintegrated all the way back to an infant status that could not even articulate. They could not even speak. They could not even be heard. And he was saying that was the problem. But here was the original solution to keep that from ever happening. If you would have went from milk to meat and stayed on meat, exercising yourself in effect of that meat, doing what the meat told you to do, you would have grown into adult status. You would have brought forth yourself to a place of knowing and understanding and being able to trade wisdom to others. The Amplified says this. We just read this. I'll read this again and then read the Amplified on top of it. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amplified. But solid food is for full-grown men, for those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and to distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary either to divine or human laws. Teachers to babies, that's what we're talking about this morning. Now let me tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you over the next few weeks, and then I'm going to remind you of it during that time, and I'm going to tell you again and again and again. One of the things that you'll hear in these lessons is this: the more that you know and do, the more that you will fortify and ensure your continual existence and growth in the kingdom of God. The more that you know and the more that you do. Now, this is where I'm talking about going beyond born again. It's really an insurance policy. You'll find that once we transition from chapter 5 to chapter 6, we'll kind of look at it overview in the next few weeks. But you'll find out this, that what he was saying in all essence was, here's an insurance policy. Get strong. Stay strong. Do the things that you've been taught. Advance in the word, because it is an insurance policy to ever falling in the future. Now, I will quickly say this. For the Hebrews, this whole book of Hebrews is defined in chapter 1, verse 1. He's telling them in the past, now I'm paraphrasing because I don't have in front of me, in the past, all of God's wisdom and prophecy and understanding came to our fathers by the prophets and those who spoke for him. But now in these last days, he's speaking by one, Jesus, his son. And he distinguishes from the very beginning, we're trading the old for the new. We're living in the new now. And all of everything that he writes in 13 chapters is telling these Hebrew Christians, which is also prophecy for us as Gentile Christians. You may have a few Jewish by nationality, but now you're born again, and you're only one nationality now. That's you're born again. Hallelujah. And so he's telling them throughout these 13 chapters, we've traded the old for the new, and now anything that comes to us in truth is coming to us by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, as I said, the overview of chapter 5 and 6, we're going to look at, but what he was telling to these New Testament Jewish believers is, if you want an insurance, because a lot of them started out, I don't know, listen, it's very possible, it's very possible that he was talking to either those who were part of the original Jerusalem outpouring or some of their descendants. It is possible, based on what they were facing at the hour, that even some of those from the beginning were having a real struggle staying in Christ because of the immense persecution. But he is underscoring here that the stronger you get and the more you go past the door, having received the door, never disappreciating, I've been born again. But the stronger you get, it's the message of Mark 4. It's the maturing. If you'll get the root, if you get, oh God, when I see people come in here, I know I've got a window. When I see a young man born again in here, a young lady, I was like, my God, they're sincere. Some of them take off and you just almost don't have to worry about them at all. But then I'll call some and call some, because I know that there's a window of root. There's a maturation. There's the Mark 4. And if they can get that root, if they can get that tap root in them and set down, they'll make it. But if they don't do that, and that's why I'll prop them back. I put 170, I and the Plamondans came over and helped me. We put 170 areca palms around my fence and distinguish a hedge for me. They're just a few months old right now, but they're all getting set root. The winds that we've had, some of the storms, the winter storms, they'd bend some of them down almost to the ground. I'd go back out there. I'd kind of put them back up. Most of them were already, you know, pretty good, but we had to bury some of them shallow because of the tap roots of the pines. And I would set them in. I said, oh, you know what? I'm going to go. I went and got me a bunch of, the surveyor stakes, and I would put them down beside of them, and I'd take a string and loosely tie them, not where I would cinch them up too much, and then I would keep straightening them back up, tie them back up. I finally called, because I had a bunch of them, 170, and I called the guy, and I said, what should I do to these things? I didn't say what I'd done. I said, I'm really kind of concerned. Will they ever, you know? He goes, what you got to do is, I had the same problem with mine, because he's a wholesaler, but he goes, I'll tell you what you do. You have to keep propping them back up, get you some of those stakes and nail down beside them, and take you some string. And I said, okay, I've already done that. I figured that part out. But here's the thing. When they come in the kingdom, a lot of them, you got to keep propping them back up. You got to tie them back up. Next week, you got to prop them back up. Hopefully, what you're hoping for is that they'll put that first, because he told me, he says, when they finally get rooted, forget it. I got most of them right now, I can tell, it doesn't really matter. 90% of them right now, I got a few of them that I'm still having to prop back up. Most of them are already tap rooted. They've already went down after about 4 months. But here's the thing. If we can get them, once we get them in here, we got a window. We just got a window. And what we're shooting for is to get them in relationship to their own relationship with the Word and fellowship with God, and get past some of those first big, you know, barriers. Hallelujah. Everybody still with me? Hallelujah. We're doing good. Listen, it's an insurance policy. Getting close. Going forward. It's a fortification. Born again, listen, although born again is perfect and complete, it is also just the beginning. Born again is full. Here, let me say this. This will make sense, but not make sense, maybe. Born again is full grown and not full grown all at the same time. It's perfect in nature. It's perfect in appetite for righteousness. It's perfect in hatred of sin and unrighteousness. It's perfect in the power to resist sin. It's perfect in a consciousness against deadly sins. In other words, it doesn't have to grow up in those areas. Okay? It's grown up, but Ephesians 4 tells us something else. Born again is not the measure of the fullness of Christ. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Look at this. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Why all these teachers? Till or until we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, I'm growing, and I should be growing. I didn't get it all at once. There was part of me that was innately grown up from the get-go, start. But in what he's describing here as in doctrine and in truth, baby could not get that all at once. That is a maturing that takes years, and it takes going forward in Christ and learning and receiving and doing what has been applying, what has been taught you. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking, this is it, speak the truth in love, that you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. There is a growing process. We have to go beyond born again. We have to go into a place where the word is being taught to us, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Although born again has, now this is a little wordy, but listen, although born again has an immediate conceptual completeness in many areas, it is still not considered total adulthood in Christ. Okay? Growing to the stature of the fullness of Christ, to be full adults, can only be achieved by the exercise of the Word of God in us. Without growth, even with a born again or with born again, you can or you will run the risk of staying a child that has the capacity to be tossed to and fro in what you believe. Immediately born again. Brother, I can tell you something. You got the power to resist sin. Yes, sir, I do, because I just started just dropping off last. It just, but you just stay in that place. In all truth, that born-again nature could resist sin all the way into death. But don't go to church. Don't read your word. Don't stay the same. Stay a baby. Then you'll become immature. The next place is you will be awarded with the ability to become tossed to and fro. To and fro in what you believe. This is what has happened to much of the body of Christ at large. They're born again, but never move past the door of their salvation into the Word of God. They become susceptible to every wind of doctrine and deception. The very sad truth is that millions of spiritual babies are immediately exposed. Now, this is the sad part. Now, we're talking about hearing the truth and then not doing the truth, okay? And that's for us. This is for our class. But listen, here's the truth. The very sad truth is that millions of spiritual babies are immediately exposed to spoiled milk. They don't even get the sincere milk of the Word to grow. They're exposed to spoiled milk. It's rotten milk. Exposed to spoiled milk. And when they are being told that they are being fed milk, it is rancid. It's spoiled. It has the color of green from man-made doctrines of the flesh. Even when they're told, this is meat, people, it's not meat. It's rancid meat. It's spoiled meat. The weakness is not on the part of the born again, but it's upon, or born again spirit, but it's upon the travesty of the flesh dominating the spirit. Someone may say, well, the flesh does not have the power to dominate the spirit. That's right, but staying a baby instead of moving on into a teacher status is the empowerment to the flesh to hold an unnecessary dominion over the spirit. You got that? In other words, well, Pastor, the spirit doesn't have, the flesh doesn't have the power to, oh, I know that. But just stay a baby. Just stay a baby year after year. That will empower the flesh, although it's a travesty and should not be, it will empower the flesh to cause you to believe and do. See, instead of being teachers, and when I talk about teachers, we're supposed to be show and tell teachers. Not teachers of like, let me tell you, I can repeat this doctrine. I can show you, but I can tell you, but I can show you too. Hallelujah. Amen. We're getting closer. You're a good audience. Staying too close to entry level is dangerous. Maturity is safety for your future, as I talked about the Mark 4. Let's say it again. I like to say this. Use it or lose it. Okay. And so with understanding this in Hebrews, what would be just on a good practical way to exercise the actual words that have been taught to you that would make you strong? Well, Mark, you don't have to turn there. Mark 16:15, Jesus said this, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world, Mark records this, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm or hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Now listen to Mark's last verse. This is Mark's last verse. Mark's last verse actually is a report. He tells all that, and he gives you the words of Jesus. But then Mark reports into the book of Acts. He reports when he probably reports his present day. He tells you what Jesus said, but then he skips the day of Pentecost. He doesn't skip it. He just takes you past it into the book of Acts. His last verse says this, and they that heard that, went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and italicized them. It doesn't say them. It's actually an accentuation on the word. The word, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. His last report was this. He told us, he taught us, and we did it, and it worked. That's doing it. That's going, that's where you'll get degree after degree. Dun, 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 dun. We do hereby bestow upon you first the bachelor's degree. Dun, dun, dun. Here is your master's, dear sir. Dun, 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 dun. Here's your doctorate, dear sister. Dun. Why? Because you took what you knew and you transitioned from theory, in essence, or the first level of believing is not theory. You have to receive it to do it. But if you don't do what you believe, you said that you believed, then it will transition into theory that will then transition down to the next level of a phantom of reality, so that when you're telling people that he heals and delivers, your word will have no power because you've not been doing it. You should have had your second or third doctorate, and you can't even, people don't even understand what you're saying. Hallelujah. That's powerful, isn't it? It's very possible that the writer of Hebrews, and we're real close now, is scolding those that were a direct part of the descendants of the original Jerusalem outpouring. Nevertheless, a perfect example was in the earth, the book of Acts. And it wasn't even written, but they had seen it take place. the book of Acts, were taking the foundation that Jesus and the apostles had given them and were proving it on the sidewalks. The word unexercised will only stay in the first place of belief. This is what I just said. For just so long, it does have a shelf life. It does have a shelf life. Not the word itself, but per you, if you receive it, it has a shelf life. If you don't do it, it will turn into theory, which has an expert. We should have, to the person reading it, it should have after, man, I love this revelation. Yes, but if you do not do this revelation, the expiration date on this is such and such and such and such, if you do not do this. Otherwise, it will turn into theory to you, and you will tell it to others, but it will have no power in your words. Because you have heard it, but you have not done it, and you're only repeating mere words. After a while, you'll become such an infant that you'll be babbling to people. Google, God, God, God. You'll actually be saying words, but to them it'll be like, I don't know, what are they saying? And you're trying to tell them, you're repeating, you know, I'm repeating. Well, this is what my pastor said, or this is what an elder sister in the church said, or this. Why is it when they said it had life? Because they're doing it. Yours is goo goo gaga. The church, not you guys. Hallelujah. It's power. It's doing what we know. Hallelujah. Now, when we get back together, and I said this last week, but there's so much in front of us. He said in chapter 6, which is all part of, it's all 5 and 6 is all together. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again. He didn't say that you couldn't ever talk on it, but he said not laying again the foundations of repentance. He names a few things here. Repentance from dead works, faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment. And he said this, and this will we do if God permits. And I'm thinking that's the call of every preacher. We're like every one of us that are spiritually mature are saying this. We hope the church is ready. Listen, most of the church at large has no idea what these things are. When he goes into leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on into perfection. He doesn't mean throw them away. We're not throwing away born again. That's where we're founded at. That's our celebration. But he's saying this, the spiritually mature church is the book of Acts church. They've received that, and they're not having to have a convention on, let's get together and we're going to teach you a week how you should stop sinning. Now, we should tell people that. But dear Jesus, that should happen at the door. And we have to continue to teach our babies. That's the milk. How's that milk taste? It identifies with who you are, right? Because the Word says you stopped sinning, and you told me the testimony within the first few weeks you stopped all of your carousing and all that stuff, and the porno left, and man, hallelujah. Babies, let's give our babies a great big hand. Hallelujah, glory to God. But he says here, what we're wanting to do is go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. I hope we're going to get into repentance from dead works. Somebody says, I know what that is. If you haven't read the book of Hebrews, you probably don't. That's not Galatians 5:19. That's in the, now here are the works of the flesh. Blah, blah, blah. This is not the works of the flesh. This is in pertaining to what does the book of Hebrews calls dead works. I'll give you a hint and we'll close. They were Jewish people trying to come out of the rituals of the law. I just told you everything, okay? I just told you the whole sermon. But we'll go into an application of us relevant today, okay? That was the dead works that they were supposed to stay away from. Hallelujah. Did you have a good time? All right, let's all stand together. Father, we just worship you. We thank you for your great grace that is upon our life to go to the next level. We cannot do it of ourselves, but we have attained grace and mercy to go into the next level. And Father, we just thank you for that spiritual, boy, we just didn't plan that this morning, that spiritual time of where your Holy Ghost fell upon us, and now the application of your word. Let it be received, walked in, and done. Lord, we love these people. I bless every man and woman and every boy and girl that has listened to us today. God bless this congregation, all those listening. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you.